This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Join the Jockey Club to experience the journeys of migrant jockeys chasing their dream whilst navigating the hustle and bustle of New Zealand horse racing.
Hi, this is Andrew McKerrow, and this time at the Jockey Club. With a life and career now in New Zealand, Krishna Madhu encourages his brother back in Mauritius to join him in the Kiwi jockey ranks.
So good to have Krishna Madhu in the studio today. I had the opportunity to listen to some of your brother Rohan's story.
Me and Krishna, we've been like, whatever he would do, I'd be doing the same. If he would get in trouble, I would be in trouble because I'd be doing the same behind him.
So much of his story probably wouldn't have happened without your story and you leading the way.
He's 5 years older than me and he started going into his career and that's what I had in my mind. I'm going to do what he's doing.
Yeah, my brother is my everything, to be honest, because we grew up together.
Yes, we were very close. And we still are. Hopefully we stay the same.
The way he describes it, he was kind of almost like your shadow a little bit, is that right?
We even sleep in the same bed when we go home.
Krishna got me a job in New Zealand. I didn't really know how to ride horses properly and all that, but Krishna got me a job. He says, come and we will teach you, we'll get you a chance to do something in life.
What a great opportunity to bring you in today as well, just to get, I suppose, another perspective. One thing that probably I haven't been aware of
last couple now moving into line
is just how huge racing is in Mauritius.
The island virtually shuts down for the international weekend, and it feels like every single resident is heading to the track at Port Louis.
Kind of like your national sport.
Yeah, everybody just loves it.
It doesn't matter whether they scream in Creole, French or Hindi. Everyone is at the races.
It comes to Saturday and Sunday, the whole country stops.
Wow.
And just watch the races.
This country simply loves horse racing.
I do remember when my father used to take me and sitting on the top of a mountain and watching the horses racing.
Wow.
Because we were not able to enter the race course because no one knew us and knew nothing. So we just sit on the little mountain and watch the horses racing.
Wow.
Yeah.
At what point do you kind of go, hey, this is something that I want to do, and what makes you decide this is what I want to do?
Well, it only started like how my father used to sit in front of the TV every Saturday and Sunday and watch the races and cheering for all these people that we don't know. He gets a kick out of it. I'm like, oh, well, I know what I'm doing when I'm getting older. If you're cheering for other people, you can cheer for me as well.
Jockeys are kind of like celebrities over there, a bit like All Blacks here, is that right?
Well, I didn't really know until I actually went and ride.
Yeah.
Well, like everyone just knows your face and know who you are, know where you live.
Wow.
Fans and punters were getting restless.
JB steps in, racing from the 1850-metre mark. Bypass on the inside began quickly, so too.
It wouldn't be easy to get started as a jockey, is it right?
It's not very easy at all, Andrew. Like, if you have someone in racing, then yes, but I grew up with no horses around and it was very, very tough. Like, I had to start from zero and then I had to go to South Africa to do a little apprenticeship.
Tell me about South Africa. So you've decided this is my chance to learn how to be a jockey. Was that your first time away from home?
That was the first time away from home, Andrew, yes, and it was very hard. It was very, like, I was getting homesick and everything.
Yeah.
I was so young and yeah, so my father paid the academy and yeah, I had to study equine studies, then I had to do a bit of riding and then I got homesick. It was very tough. Yeah.
What point did your riding get to over there, Chris?
I did achieve a gold cap, which means I was selected of one of the good track work riders. So I was just about to get my license and I had to come home. Because I could not do it.
So you got almost to that point.
And I just got homesick. I honestly could not do it. Like, family was a bit disappointed. Why did I come home? But I just honestly.
So what, at that point in your mind, you kind of, what are you thinking you're going to do instead?
Well, I thought I'm never going to ride any horse ever again in my life because I really lost my chance. So, and I thought the career was over. Come home, no job, started working in the hotel.
What were you doing in those hotels?
I was a bar waiter, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah, because my father used to be a bar manager and he got me a job. Working in hotels was not for me. I need to ride a horse. Yeah, this is, I'm like, I said to the parents, give me a second chance.
So what amazes me is, like, you're homesick, right? So you come home, but then you decide to come all the way to New Zealand to try again.
Yeah, because riding horses is what I wanted to do.
Right.
Well, yeah. I lost my chance because I was young.
Yep.
Getting homesick, I'm like, nah. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take the second chance.
What did you think of New Zealand when you first got here?
I was very stunned. I never saw a country with all these sheep, cows, yeah. Plenty of land.
Yeah.
And it's such a beautiful country, to be honest, like I must say. Andrew, it was so difficult when I arrived because half of the time I could not understand. Like the English is so fast.
Yeah.
And I could not pick the words. All I knew was, yes, please, thank you.
Wow.
Yeah, that's all I knew.
That's crazy, man. Mauritius is described as a beautiful place as well. Almost, I've never been there, but listening to you guys talk about it, in my mind, it almost sounds like an island paradise, you know?
Well, Mauritius is a teeny tiny island in the Indian Ocean.
Yeah.
You have to zoom in your world map to actually see the country.
Wow.
And population-wise is 1.2, 1.3 million. And it takes you a whole 2 hours from here to Timaru. That's Mauritius all done.
Wow.
That's the whole country. So it's not big. You don't have any privacy. Like, everything is just like...
Everyone knows everyone.
Everyone knows everyone. And
right.
Because the houses is too close... Like in New Zealand, you do whatever you want, you do whatever you like. But back home, because there's too many people and watching you doing that, it's very hard. Yeah, Mauritius is a very nice and beautiful country, but I do really like New Zealand.
So you're 2 days removed from your family.
Yeah, exactly. Just on flying.
And now you're turned up in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And you know... Goss, and is that it?
No, we're good friends.
Yeah, so Goss being Goss and Jagu, one of our other senior riders, probably the first one ready to come from Mauritius to New Zealand. What do you mean, as a jockey?
Yeah, I reckon he will be the first one.
Yeah. Goss and 10, Mose 11. So you arrive here, you'll find yourself at with John and Karen Parsons out on Amberley. Where's
Rohan? I actually got here, Andrew, just to be a track work rider.
Ah, so you weren't intending to be a jockey.
I never had the thought I'll be a jockey because I was
really?
I was a little fat boy, you see. And like Goss is very tiny, so I knew he'd make it, but I never thought I would.
Yeah.
So I came here as a track work rider, and John said, can you jump a horse out for me? I said, yep, I know what to do, I can do it. I did. And one day I got really lucky. Tina was not there. Tina went home, and Goss was injured. We had 3-4 horses going to the trials. John said, do you want to ride at the trials? This is how I got my chance. Said yes. Gone to the trial, did everything right. And then John said, you do ride okay. Would you like to be my apprentice? I had all the joy in my face that day, and I said yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it looks like the dream was actually coming true.
I never knew that. I just always assumed that you'd come over to be a jockey.
Nah, never had the idea, to be honest, because when I left South Africa with no degrees of getting a license or anything, so I know I'm not getting where I wanted, but at least I can ride a horse.
Mm.
It was very exciting, but at the same time, there was lots of hard work to be put in.
Yeah.
There was lots of sacrifice you have to do, like... Because if you just started as an apprenticeship, you have to make sure if you started if you're starting, you have to start it good.
You said you had a wee bit of weight to lose. I'm not sure if I realised that. I guess I always thought that the sort of the weight part of it came naturally to you, but you had to work kind of hard to get your weight down to be a jockey.
Honestly, I still do remember it was a trial at Ashburton.
Yep.
I was 58 kilos, and the minimum weight in New Zealand racing is 54. Then I started the gym, like cut down the food, a bit of diet, then I made my weight and I got my license. Yeah.
How is it now? Is it difficult, or is it you've done it for so long that you've actually got really good at managing your weight?
Yes, Andrew, there's some diet that you have to follow, and there's some food that you can eat, some food you can't.
Yeah.
And for me, like, I'm someone in winter I put too much weight on.
What do you have to stay away from?
Of course, fizzies.
Fizzies, yeah.
Alcohol.
Yeah.
Sugar.
Yep.
Yeah, you're going to have to stay off them.
You want to treat yourself, or you have a big winner and you can still go and grab a decent steak or something?
Yeah, like, in summer my weight is really good.
Yep.
But comes in winter, you always have to watch out, because in winter when you ride horses,
yeah,
like no matter how many clothes you put on, you're not sweating.
You're not sweating, right.
But in summer, you can be out there riding two horses with the T-shirt on, you're actually sweating.
That makes sense.
When you're a jockey, like when you know you're going out to ride, adrenaline is so high. It's raining, it's cold, it's not raining. You will be out there riding.
Yeah.
So I don't think, like, yes, of course, in winter you get cold and sometimes you struggle with the weight, but when it's the day, you forget about everything. You're getting on that horse.
Mm.
44 winners, my first ever season I rode.
Wow.
And they even made me the leading apprentice of South Island.
Amazing, eh?
Done really well.
For you and Rohan, you know, sharing these dreams now, what is it like for you? Because he's sort of starting to, in a sense, sort of break through as a rider in his own right. What's it like for you watching that as a brother?
I'm very proud.
Yeah.
Very, very proud. For a young boy who knew nothing with horses, now today he rode over 100 winners. Very proud.
When he got here, did you feel kind of responsible for looking after him, or, you know, was there still the big brother, little brother thing going on when you got here?
Yeah, I had to look after him because he came here, like, very young.
Yeah.
I think he came here when he was 18.
Wow.
Of course, he has to do what I'm doing. So he learned a little bit about horses back home, but I do believe the first time he sat on a horse was here in New Zealand. So I was like, you're not going through what I've been in South Africa, so I'm here for you no matter if you need me or I'll be here with you.
How good.
Yeah. But he did find his way by himself.
Mm.
Like, when you sit on a horse, you have to do the riding. I can't do the riding. So he did everything by himself.
Yeah.
So, yes.
But like you say, you've been through some stuff, you'd learned some stuff, and could probably shepherd him a little bit through some of that stuff.
Yeah, I only showed him the way.
Yeah, sure.
I only showed him the way, but he actually did everything by himself.
It's cool, man.
Which is very good, yes.
Krishna, you know, I always look up for him, his riding style, the way he sits on a horse, the way he can settle a horse. It's just beautiful. And if I manage to be half like him, I will be really happy.
It gets very good when both of us win the same race and we racing each other. All we want to do is beat the other one.
He told us a story last time about he wanted to pick up a listed race, you know, a black type race.
Yeah.
And the closest he got was second, and you beat him.
Yeah, that was my first ever Group 3 I won. I thought he was going to win it, but I just got lucky. Just got him by nose.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And he would be one of the strongest jockeys I've been in a battle with. I don't remember a day where I have upset him in a race or he has upset me in a race. We always played cool, we ride like professional, and at the end of the day, we are brothers.
That's so cool. And we talked last time with Rohan about the wedding of the year in Mauritius coming up. Your little brother's getting married.
Yeah, we just can't wait, to be honest. Go back home, see the family, see the friends, and have a big wedding. There'll be big parties going on.
Amazing.
Yeah, that'll be very nice. And it's actually a whole week of of tradition and ritual and all that, so it's going to be really, really great.
That's cool.
Yeah.
How's your knock?
I'm good. Another day, Andrew. Another day.
The very first Mauritian sort of to come and be a jockey here was Goss. But you certainly have the privilege of being the first Madhu. But not now. There's how many Madhus will we see when we look on the race page now?
Honestly, I don't even know. I was the first Madhu here, and then
yeah.
Now there's Rohan Madhu, there's another Rohan Madhu.
Yeah.
And then there's Ashwin Madhu. And I just heard that he brought his another brother as well. So we've got five Madhus.
Five Madhus.
Yeah.
So are you guys all related, or is Madhu just a common last name in Mauritius?
We are cousins.
Cousins.
So me and my brother, we're brothers.
Yeah.
And those three, we're cousins. But okay. We are cousins that we actually never grew up together.
Gotcha, yeah.
So I actually got to know them while they were here.
While they were here.
Exactly. I didn't even know they were my cousin, to be honest.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Hey, how are you doing? How are you? All good?
Do you guys have a bit of community together?
You're having a bad day, then you get someone that can actually understand you. You're speaking your language,
exactly.
You know.
Exactly, yeah.
It makes you feel a lot better.
Yeah.
Like even if you got suspended or you got a fine, and then you'll get one of your friends say, hey, cheer up, it's all right.
So there's a good level of support amongst you guys?
Yes, definitely, definitely, yes.
I'll leave it up to you.
I've been the first.
Then. You're the expert.
What happens when your trainer, they want you to ride the horse a certain way, and the race isn't just panning out that way, or something in you is kind of going, feeling like we should do something different? What do you do in those situations?
Like a trainer, of course, like she will train the horse or he will train the horse, and there will be one instruction.
Yeah.
Your first thing is you will be riding for the instruction.
You really have to see how she jumps, I think. And? If she jumps good enough and you think you can hunt forward a wee bit and not get stuck wide. And if you don't, then I guess you just sit quiet and command them.
Sometimes it doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we do get those cases that we are there and things not going to plan.
Yeah.
This is when you have to do your thinking.
Yeah.
And start going plan B, plan C.
That must be split second, man. Like you guys are going so quick and everything's just happening in the blink of an eye, and you must have to literally make like split second decisions out there.
Wrong decision can cost you the race.
Yeah.
So yeah, like when we go out there, you have to make sure your mind is clear and ride good races. You cannot go there like with a stressed mind or, yeah.
You come home really good, eh?
Yeah. Drawn good like she has been, and he got to be like on the trail or something. He has been, hasn't she? Yeah. You see, wasn't it?
Yeah. How'd you go, man?
Yeah, third, Andrew, third.
It's good, heavy?
Yeah.
Good. Is there a ride that you've had that in your mind was the perfect ride? Like you finished it and you said, wow, I nailed that.
I tell you what, there was actually.
Yeah.
And that was for the Winter Classic. I was in the worst underdog horse in the race, paying $69, had no show at all. And you get horses was paying $2 like hot favorite. Like you look at their form, you'll be like scared. You'll be like, what am I going to do out there? Like honestly, on the Gordonian, the track was absolutely wet. And my horse loved it. That was the only thing that I had under my favor. Jumped out, everyone was racing 3-4 wide. Because the track was so wet, I had my horse hard on the fence.
So you're saving ground.
When they're doing 3-4 strides to keep up with me, my horse is actually doing one.
Wow.
So I got the fresh ground.
Did you lead all the way, or did you find yourself?
I led all the way, and turning from the last 600 metres, when I looked back, I could see they're struggling. I just had a smile on my face, Andrew. Honestly,
yeah.
I know I've got this.
You know you've got it, yeah.
I said to the horse, please do me a favour, don't get tired.
Don't stop. Don't stop.
Stick hard on the fence and won the race.
Now, there must be a great feeling when you know that you've put your horse in the race, you've done all the right things, and it's paid off, especially in a big race like that. That must have felt good.
I came from Mauritius, and I was 62 kilos.
Wow.
I struggled to ride 56 and a half. This is when I rode the Gordonian 53 kilos,
wow.
And I got sick straight after I rode the horse.
Mm.
Started getting bad cramps and like dizzy and all that. Yeah, after that, I said, yeah, I made it. Like, it's just, so, you feel so good, like, you're losing weight to ride a horse, and then your horse give you the chance, and you give the horse a chance, and we actually get the race. It's just off. An amazing feeling.
Yeah, I bet, especially when you've worked so hard and done so much to even be in the race, right?
Yes, definitely. And even to get a chance to ride in that race, is just, you have to be very lucky.
The whole thing about injuries, some jockeys have had bad luck with injuries, others hardly get any. What's that been like for you? Has your career been injury-free, or you've copped a few? Or?
I've been really lucky so far, that's what, but
yeah,
I had a fall in the race. I don't know how I still got up and rode my next horse. But I fall off in race 5, I got up and ride in race 6. I was perfectly fine.
Was that scary, going through that?
That is the worst feeling ever.
Big resistance here. Oh, there's a fall coming up towards the home turn. Down with an amazing start. Nabu Attack and also Lucky Patch.
When you're on that ground, you're rolling around and you look up, you see those animals are really big. We go really quick.
Yeah.
In the last 600 meters, my horse is improving and I started moving with my horse. And all of a sudden, I lost my balance. Went on the ground. I was lucky I fall, like, on my feet, but we were going so quick, like, I started rolling.
Wow.
Like, when you're sleeping on the ground and you look up, they are big animals.
Huge.
They are huge, all right? Yes.
Finish.
That is
Wellington now. So at this stage, no broken bones, no serious injuries?
Praise the Lord for that. No,
all right.
I just got a little injury here yesterday.
Yeah.
Got a kick by a horse, and lucky nothing's broken.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah. It's all common sense. You have to think what's the horse is thinking.
Yeah.
You have to be one step forward or you'll be getting kicked or you will be getting injured.
Right, yeah. So you can't go to sleep.
Nah, when you're with horses, you cannot be asleep. You have to be aware all the time.
Yeah.
They might be good, but they're still animal. They still can kick. They can still bite.
As you look back on the past year, what's your reflection? Has it been a good season for you?
I'm not going to say it's been bad. Well, you don't sit on fast horses all the time.
Mm.
And it's not always the hot favourite that wins the races. So I'm really looking forward for a fresh new season. I would work a bit harder, as you say, for the next season and try to see myself in the top 3 in the South Island Premiership next year.
I know it's hard to, you don't have a crystal ball, but say 5-10 years out from now, where do you see yourself kind of being? Where do you want to be? Is it more of the same of what you're doing now, or have you got kind of different goals, neither with racing or outside of racing?
I would still be like improving my riding skills. And as you said, in 10 years' time, I would really like to be in the top 10. Top 10, I'm saying, in the whole New Zealand Championship will be great.
For life outside of racing, is there life outside of racing for you?
Yes, there sure is. Well, I go to the gym, do a bit of cooking, really like cooking.
Oh, cool, man.
And yes, gym, cooking. Sometimes you come from track work, like on a rainy day, you do feel really tired. So, yeah, watch movies and, yeah, there's play mini golf, of course.
Oh, good.
I'm a little champion in that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Sounds like we might have to have a bit of a social event, a bit of a challenge on that one night, maybe.
That would be really great. Yeah.
I don't think you get more competitive people than jockeys. I can imagine what that might look like on a mini golf course. That's interesting about the cooking, man. So if I turn up to your place and you cook me your favourite dish, what would I be eating?
I do believe you'll be eating a chicken curry, my favourite.
Chicken curry.
I do really like lamb shanks, but I cannot cook a lamb shank, but I'm definitely cooking your chicken curry.
Lamb shanks are hard, eh? Because it's that whole sort of slow cooking and you sort of don't want to undercook them, you don't want to overcook them.
Yeah, and the thing is, I do really like it, so I'm not actually cooking it. I would like someone to cook it for me. This is when I go to Buddha Steaks.
Well, yeah. We might be able to swap. I do an OK lamb shank, so yeah. I might be able to swap you. So
yeah.
Tell me what's the secret ingredient of a good chicken curry?
We do it like our way, like Mauritian way. It's just the spices, Andrew.
So what do you guys tend to use in terms of spices? What is a typical Mauritian dish probably got in it?
Tell you what, all the spices that I get is from my brother's wife. So she does the spices. I just use it.
Very good.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Oh, well, we might have to do a swap one day. We might lamb shank for a good chicken curry.
We surely should. Good. Yeah, you even missed out. I cooked it last night. I finished it this morning. So you missed out, Andrew. I didn't know.
Is there anything over here that you've come to really love that was maybe sort of new to you before?
I honestly didn't see sushi in my life.
Mm.
And when I first started wasting, get some jockey says, go home and eat some sushi. What is a sushi? So I found a shop. I'm like, what is this? It's rice, a bit of meat inside, and it's covered with a
bit of seaweed.
A bit of seaweed.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not eating this. What is this? And because when we cook rice, it's a lot different with that rice. And I had it in my mouth. I'm like, nah, I'm not doing it. But now I'm used to it. I love sushi.
You love it?
I love sushi. You always feel light with it. You can always have 2-3 sushi and then ride a rice.
Mm.
You can still ride it good because you're not feeling heavy.
You don't feel heavy, yeah.
Exactly.
Not gluggy, is it?
No, it's very nice.
Yeah.
Krishnamurthy's trying to, swim them off their legs in this, and he's going to. It's home to Gordonian. It has been a dashing front-running display and won the classic. Number 6, the Gordonian. Krishnamurthy just swum through it.
Hey, we've heard some of your story. We've heard some of our aunts. Favorite brother memory that you've got?
Favorite brother memory? Good question. There's so many.
Yeah.
We bunked school. Both of us went to a river. And my father was not happy, and we got bashed up when we got home.
So,
that would be one of our favourite.
But it seemed like a good idea at the time, right?
It was a very good idea. We had lots of fun when we were kids, to be honest. We still do.
Yeah.
Like, I do have a really good relationship with my brother, and yeah.
What are you, obviously you're not bunking school now and running off to the river. What do you guys get up to now?
No, like sometimes we go to the mechanic horse together. We go play pool together. Like
cool.
We do really like play pools and everything. We go sweat together. We go to the gym together. Pretty much do everything together. Yeah.
Bit of mini golf?
A bit of mini golf, yeah, of course.
Who's the best?
He can play. He can play, yeah.
So what's the secret to good mini golf?
Make sure you're not hangover in the morning when you go play mini golf.
There you go. You hit it here first.
Then you would not be missing it. Go sober. Play mini golf. Not every Sunday, but most Sundays after we go to the market, and there's just a mini golf behind the race course. Yeah, we go there and have fun, have a bit of talk, and yeah, it's just a good family time.
That's awesome, man.
Yes.
Have your parents been to New Zealand?
Yes, my father and my mother did, and my mother actually came here in November for Cup Week. She was very cold. She said, I'm never coming back again.
That was in November?
That was in November.
Wow.
And this is summer for us.
New Zealand, you've been here how long now?
9 years.
9 years?
9 years, yes.
Is Mauritius still home, and where does New Zealand kind of fit?
I do believe 9 years in New Zealand, New Zealand is home.
Yeah.
Mauritius, I'm going to visit.
Right, yep. Yeah. Yep.
I honestly cannot go back and live the old life that I used to do. Because I'm actually planning to buy a house and live in New Zealand forever, if I can.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
Awesome. We sit in the car here that, you know, we're used to seeing each other at the races and all the rest of it. There's just so much that you learn from being able to sit down like this and kind of get inside somebody's story a bit. So thank you for taking the time to do that and being honest about just sort of sharing a bit more about who you are and how you are and what makes you tick. Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Andrew. You did give me a chance to actually tell my story, so that was very great. Thank you so much, and thank you for the team.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
The Jockey Club is part of the Commentary Box project on Access Media Station, Plains FM, with funding support from the Community Capability and Resilience Fund from the Ministry of Social Development.